Choose from nearly 100 career-focused programs leading to bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees at Point Park University. Learn at Point Park's downtown Pittsburgh campus, online, or a flexible hybrid format. Learn more at pointpark.edu. Advance your career with a graduate degree from Point Park University. Choose from more than 20 Point Park master's and doctoral degrees. Learn online at your convenience or at Point Park's downtown Pittsburgh campus. Learn more at pointpark.edu/graduate.
I'm Brian Bish, your host for today. Oh, we got some mean Flick Fashions for you. Prey will be Flick Fest. Anderson had a movie on his top five movies of the year so far that I'm like, why haven't I seen this? Why don't I have this? So I saw it. We'll be talking about it. And as well as another movie from Anderson. I don't know what it is because I have no notes. So Anderson, take it away.
Thanks, Brian, for that fantastic setup there. I'm excited to hear what the top five, one of my top fives of the movies of the year so far is going to be for you, because I have no idea what that could be. But how are you, buddy? It's been too short.
It's been way too short. Let's put some distance between us next time.
Yes. We just got together last night to record the episode later this week that will be aired, which has some value in it. Let me just set this up real quick, because it took me 20 minutes to get to this value that is included in that show that's going to be later this week. We have Florence Brummer on doing Red Light, Green Light Horror Edition. So she's going to be talking to us about movies that are on the horizon that are horror related. And we spend close to 20 minutes with Florence before throwing to probably a mistake, but it had to happen at some point, maybe a year too early, but we had our 2 5-year-olds on to discuss their favorite movies of their lives, and which is, oddly enough, an episode that you and I have never done.
Yeah, that's true, but they've seen a lot less movies than us, so their pool makes
well, for sure. You don't have to explain why that makes sense, but it is interesting that we do top fives week in, week out, and we've done so for 12, going on 12 years, I think, and we've never done just the ultimate top five list, ever.
That's interesting. I don't think I've been avoiding it specifically because I don't know that I could ever boil down. How many Transformers movies are there?
Oh, stop. Stop it. Just stop it. So anyways, there is some value in this episode. I don't anticipate many people listening all the way through because they're 5-year-olds and they weren't. And it's the end of a long day for me, so I wasn't my cheery regular self. Atticus did say the F word at one point by a mistake. He whispered in my ear. I haven't checked to see if it picked up on the mic yet, but I'm excited to do. I hope it did. I might give it some help because I might boost the levels on that so that the listener can hear
That's
F.
Good.
He thinks the ultimate bad word, and I've said this before, he thinks the ultimate bad word is the full phrase, what the F. Not just the F word,
yeah,
it's what the F.
Is the phrase.
I don't know why I'm censoring myself right now. What the fuck is the word? And it goes back to
the 5-year-old episode.
I know. Yeah, let the parents like tune in to hear other 5-year-olds do a show.
You know what? Bleep out that F you just dropped.
Oh, this show?
Yeah.
Oh, I said fuck a whole bunch on the kids show too before they got there.
Oh,
plus,
really?
God knows what we said with Florence. I'm not going through to clean that up. I will forget everything you said I normally do. Yeah, but this goes back to I was driving with Atticus. I was rolling video. So I have his first time he ever said a bad word out loud in front of me anyways, is I have it on video. I was rolling on my phone and I took a turn real sharp into a parking lot and he kind of swayed. I did it for effect for the video because I wanted him to kind of sway in his car seat. And he said, what the fuck? And I'm like, oh my God, dude, what is that? And then I've told the story before, but then he went on to explain that he heard it from the president. President Trump said it quite clearly. That's where he learned it. And I'm like, that's just not true. I don't understand why you're fabricating this story. And this was a time before Atticus was regularly fabricating stories. As you'll hear, I think, on the show, he regales you guys with a tale of someone getting killed by a shark while we're in San Diego, which just absolutely is not true. So, yeah. It is what it is, but the boy says, what the fuck? Tessa was great, and she has some very very cheek, bless you twice.
Thank you.
Very cheeky remarks by the time the show was all said and done, almost like a mic drop moment.
Let us be clear, too, that this is not just a poor decision by us. I am out of town all of next week, and in the interest of giving our listeners something new and fresh and interesting to listen to every week, we thought this would be a fun little stopgap.
Yeah, it was this or re-air like a classic episode again, and we did that not too long ago, so I was... I like to think that we might be able to pull this off once a year and hear them grow over the years. If for nothing else, for you and I to have that, you know, legacy, to be able to go back and listen.
Can you imagine how shitty they'll be in like 5 years? Yeah, more like seven or 8 years.
But it'll be really interesting to hear their taste completely change, right?
Totally. They're going to go through phases. You know what?
The lists were not bad, and I did... I like to think that I did very little to influence his actual list. I was just helping him along over a week. I explain all this on the actual show. But yeah, I was kind of happy with his list. And it was not, no matter what you think, it was not me coaxing him in a certain direction. And he has a hipster pick on there at his number one. So
it was interesting as independently our children both at the last minute attempted to excise perhaps the movie that defines them each the best and replace it with just nonsense.
Yeah, I had to remind him. I did this whole thing. I kind of wish I shot it where we're in the car, long trip in the car with a 5-year-old, which is kind of par for the course for me. I do that quite often. And he had his solid 4 movies on his list, and he was leaving off his favorite. I think how he identifies himself, and he could not remember it. I'm like, it's all over your room. It's all you want to talk about. And he kept guessing wrong. And I'm like, what goes on in that little brain?
Perhaps
not much.
Do you think, seriously, is there a scenario where the thing that they love so much transcends the movie and is just part of their life? You know what I mean?
For sure. For sure. That's absolutely the case. And that's why I thought I'd be able to, cause I never just give him the answer. I always make him figure it out for the most part. So I got, it was maybe full 5 minutes of me giving him hints and talking about things. And then he finally got it and he could not stop laughing at how foolish he was. This is, you know, a separate conversation that I have with him in the car. It's not the actual show, but yeah, it's crazy, right?
Yeah. I think we described this on the next, you guys listen, give it a shot, give it a listen. And if you can't do the whole thing, I understand that completely, but you may find it amusing.
You know, what's funny is it's a lot like movies and execution. And I think the idea was good. And I know that if we had spent the time, like I was talking to you about Addies and Andy, the show that I did with Atticus, that'll be bringing back soon. And a lot of time I'll spend a good 15, 20 minutes with the camera rolling, just shooting the shit with him until he becomes himself. Because they're kids and they, you know, they put on a show and they get in their head and they're nervous. And a lot of time,
add in the fact that now they're, you know, Tessa has a guest over her house who's never been as far as right. She knows.
And I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying that it's like with movies, a lot of times like the script is good, but then the execution is bad. And I feel like the execution was maybe a 5 on our part, but we didn't, you know, the alternative would be to sit them down for like an hour and get them really comfortable and then start the show. And we just did. We didn't have that. It was Atticus's first day of school the night before. So, all right. Couple bits of business I'd like to get to here. Somebody recently reached out to Tyler to figure out how to get a chat with Andy, which I am still doing. I'm ramping those back up now that Atticus is in school. And that's comes down to me being a poor marketer. And this kind of folds into what else I want to say, which is a lot of the time you'll hear us say it's in the show notes or you know, we have a link to that in the show notes. And it's not always like, hey, give me money to talk to you, which it is sometimes as it is right now. It's, you know, if you would like to get a chat with Andy, there will be a link in the show notes. What that means is you can just easily go on to like whatever you're listening to the podcast on right now and just scroll up or down, however you have your phone set, and you'll see a whole bunch of notes, like links to the featured artist, links to the fan art, links to chat with Andy, to my wife's like Facebook merch, to our own merch. Like, there's all sorts. Sometimes there's like a clip to a movie that we want to, like, you know, highlight, and you can see that it's all right there. And I do differentiate that sometimes by saying, hey, I put like our full lists on the Patreon show notes, which is the only difference. Everything else is the exact same with the Patreon show notes as to the regular show notes. So there's a lot of stuff you could see down there in the show notes. Real easy to just flip up or flip down and look at it in real time as we're speaking. So if you'd like to get a chat with Andy, I'm going to have some openings, which I have not had for quite some time now. But, and, you know, I've talked to people about everything from, you know, how to start a podcast to movie making to just movies in general to, like, you know, some couple people have called me up and they just wanted to talk about their horrific childhood, almost like a love line call for a half hour. So whatever you'd like to talk about, I'm a good talker. As you might have realized, I make everyone feel comfortable as far as I could tell, pretty quick off the bat. And I just love doing it. I would do it for free if I wasn't, you know, in the financial situation I'm in and if I had more time. I just love the connection with the audience and talking to people and putting voices to names that I know are, you know, invested in the show. So chat with Andy right down there, $50, 30 minutes on the phone. Or FaceTime or however you like to do it. And yeah, I got some openings now with Atticus Back in School. And now I guess we could talk movies, Briber.
It's been a while.
Since we've talked movies?
We have no fanfliction, I assume. This is being recorded a week ahead of time. So let's dive right in. You know what? Let's just dive right into the one that everyone wants to hear about. Prey is a 2022 film directed by Dan Trachtenberg. This is his sophomore effort. He directed 10 Cloverfield Lane, starring Amber Midthunder as Naru and Dakota Beavers as her brother. 92% Rotten Tomatoes. You can stream this on Hulu. This was Hulu's most streamed premiere ever, apparently. Anderson, good sign. Not a lot of notes. Didn't take very many notes.
Dan Trachtenberg, it should be pointed out too, he's directed episodes of Black Mirror, the Wyatt Russell episode, if you ever saw that one, as well as, probably more importantly, for sure more importantly, the very first episode of The Boys, which is, you know, it's a tone setter. So it's you need to have the chops to be able to direct something that significant to a series, especially a series such as The Boys. You got to set the tone, and I think he did an admirable job. So this guy, beyond 10 Cloverfield Lane, has some directing chops for sure, and that shows in this movie Prey that everyone has been going on and on and on and on and on about.
I worry about overselling it to you.
A classic example of it being oversold to me. However, that's not to say I did not like it, and that's not to say that this isn't by far and away my favorite Predator-related movie I've ever seen, but that said, that doesn't say a whole lot. And the problem with me is me, and that is I have never been down with the Predator as a creature. And that's my own personal thing. That's my own problem. I wish that I liked him as much as most people seem to.
What's your hang up with the Predator?
He just kind of bugs me. I don't know. I mean, I'm a xenomorph guy. I like actual, his face is cool, but I don't like his buff body has always kind of turned me off. And his hunting skills, I don't know. It just doesn't really do a whole lot for me. I thought the first one was goofy as fuck whenever all my friends loved it back when it came out.
Predator's a good movie. I mean, for what it is, you know, a big over-the-top action sci-fi movie.
You know what it is? It's like at my core, I'm a movie snob, and and it's funny that Alien and Predator, with the Alien versus Predator that Mitch Burns had us watch, they ended up teaming up. But I used to compare the two and be like, if I want to see an Alien movie, I want to see Ridley Scott's Alien, or, you know, the sequel with Aliens, or, you know, I want that universe, which takes itself way more seriously than this, like, Fast and the Furious version of it with the, but that's me. There's a lot to like in this movie. So I got the negative shit out of the way. Let's talk about the good stuff.
All right. I thought I couldn't. It's a good sign that I could not tell what was CGI and what was not in terms of other animals, in terms of just what I was looking at, which means I assumed the CGI was solid.
Can I ask you a question, Brian?
Yeah.
Were you wearing your spectacles while you watched this?
I was. I can't see without my glasses. So, yeah, I was wearing them.
I mean, I thought the CGI was as evident as in any movie, like from the elk that she was hunting to the creature himself. And I I did. Okay, one more negative thing. I did have a problem where they used the cloaking device way more than they did in the other Predators that I've seen. So we see less of the Predator off the bat for the first two acts because he's constantly doing that invisible, like, it's like Wonder Woman's plane.
Yeah, it's like a distorted, you know, a heat signature or something.
Not even heat signature. Like, he has a little reflective thing, so he mirrors what's around him, so he's supposed to be invisible. And right. I thought that was a bit of a cop-out. Like, we don't have to actually show the creature. We can just do the CGI rendering of this, like,
well, would it not make sense? Type. Hold on a second. You're cutting out. Are you there?
I'm here. I'm absolutely there? Here.
Check.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Take your shit off Wi-Fi. Yes.
It's off Wi-Fi, bro.
The I disagree. I mean, if you're gonna hunt the ultimate prey, which is man, then yes, you need to use every advantage you have, including space age technology.
Okay, well, we just saw Nope, and they weren't. He was hiding in clouds, but he was out in the present. He was out to be seen by all ranchers looking up.
And speaking of which, I'm gonna say Prey much better than Nope.
I mean, much better is quite the statement.
Yes, it is, and it's a correct statement.
All right. Yeah. I mean, that's you. I would not say that. All right. So we didn't. For those of you who may be listening who are not aware of this, as I was not that aware of it just like a week ago, and I didn't realize that it was a Predator related movie. That's how out of the loop I was on it until I guess like 5 days ago. This movie is Predator back. It's a throwback, almost like a prequel. It's not an origin story by any means, which would be interesting, I guess. But no, this is him first coming to, or one of the Predators first coming to Earth, I guess,
That's
or one of the first times.
Yeah, we don't know the lifespan of a Predator, so it could be the same one, but more likely an ancestor.
And I'm sure all these questions can be answered if you do a little sleuthing, because I'm sure there's a lot of backstory in this guy, because he's got a very large following.
Oh,
but,
Giovanni, I look forward to your email going to Anderson.
Correct me or help me with this, Brian, as far as the origin of Predator. And forgive me, because I do not remember Alien versus Predator that well. I remember not enjoying it that much, but it went way back to ancient civilizations, didn't it?
Well, they had temples, but I think it was set in quote unquote, you know, modern time, whatever, 97 or whatever year it was.
But it was suggesting that Predator was a part of the temple building.
Oh,
back
I
in
see.
The day.
It suggested a very long history. Yes, I believe of the, and then they enslaved or were using the, xenomorph aliens to like do their bidding. Was that what it was? If I remember correctly.
Something along those lines, and then they fought, and for my money, the wrong team kind of came out on top there. But so this movie is rife with like metaphor, and you know, of the white man raping the land.
Indeed.
And doing wrong to the Native Americans, which is right there, and it's good storytelling, and it was right there for the taking, especially for a story such as a Predator story from what, 300 years ago or so.
Oh, sure. Now we have to set up the story, or at least describe the plot.
So I started to do that.
So this takes place in the early 1700s, I believe. It is in America, or what is will come to be known as America. It's with the Native Americans, and it's a village of Comanches, and young Naru, played by Amber Midthunder, who I thought was really fantastic. She is an aspiring sort of warrior, but she's younger, she's a girl, and that's all the stuff. Her brother is like the chief warrior of the tribe, so she got that to live up to. And she wants to hunt. All she wants to do is hunt. And she keeps getting, it's almost Pixar, Disney princess this in a way. It's like, no, you must return to the village or whatever. There's no
Brave.
Time to hunt. Yeah. And all she wants to do is go out and fucking track and shoot elk. And she's out there. And wouldn't you know, something enters the atmosphere, and it's our old friend, the Predator. And he goes about, he kind of makes his way, you know, up the food chain. I think does he kill a snake first and then like a
yeah,
doll,
he's trying
wolf
to figure it seems as though this is his first hunting trip to Earth, because he's trying to figure out what the ultimate predator is, and he wants to take out the apex predator, right? And he's kind of moving his way up the food chain, like you said.
Yeah, so we start. I believe he kills a snake, then he kills a wolf, and then there's a bear situation, and finally he realizes, oh, this is the ultimate prize, and he sets his sight on the Comanches, and things don't go well for them initially, and of course it's up to Nerau, our heroine, to take charge. And take charge, she does. She's kind of an ass-kicking.
So the message in the movie was a little heavy-handed as far. I already mentioned about the metaphors for colonialism, which I can appreciate. But the whole, like, oh, you're a girl, you can't do this thing was a little, I felt too, like, hard in the crease with it because I didn't really like the Native Americans as much as I could have because they were such dicks to her. You know what I mean? Like, they could have been a little bit more. And I don't understand that was the underlying message. But at the same time, I didn't have much empathy for them as they got picked off, except for her brother, who was the only like good male on that side, I think. And ultimately, Brian, this occurred to me. I hate when people preface something with like, I get, you know, your cause. And if you don't understand what a feminist means, it sounds like you're really a bitch if you're a pussy whipped, if you say you're a feminist as a male, but that just means equal rights. It just means women should be, have the same place as men. But that said, is it the right message to say we need more women out there kicking ass and killing things? I mean, without the kindness that women bring into groups and units, like humans are just, males are so shitty and bloodthirsty. Do we need to say, women, you need to come up and be as bloodthirsty as men? Like, there are only saving grace as a species.
That's a very good observation. I will temper that by saying in this instance in the movie, it was this girl who was sort of exceptional for her age and her gender and even just for her role in the world. She's an exceptional hunter and tracker. So why would you want to prevent her from doing this thing she's clearly gifted at just because she is female? But yeah, I know what you're saying. I'm on board with your cause.
If it was set in today's day and age, like, she would be trying to be a CEO and all of the people in her village would be saying, sure, oh, you can't be a CEO, you're a chick.
You could see this being like a version of a modern, this story, you know, she's trying to become a major league baseball player. And it's like, all right, yes. Well, you clearly have the skill to do it, so go for it.
Yeah, so maybe that's, I'm picking some nits there. And perhaps
because there are female CEOs.
Yes. So, all right. That said, I did like that it was the French that took the beating, which is also accurate, I think, because they were the first
French
traders and fur hunters that came over here. So it was more French than the English-speaking whitey that was the evil ones in this one. It's easier to hate French than people who speak your own language, right?
Oui.
But ultimately, it was entertaining, especially by the third act. I really enjoyed a lot of it. And the more you see of the Predator, the happier I was with his face and his, it's just, there's something about his nipples. And did you catch that they found his scat, which I didn't really think I'd ever see.
Yeah, but they were looking through his poop.
Digging through his poop.
They didn't realize it was his?
Predator's poop. Yeah. Okay. It was like by his tracks. And they're like, this is probably like a bear. And they're like, no, I don't think it's a bear. Something else. I'm like, oh my God, we're looking at Predator poop right now. And then it got me thinking, like, you know, I'm thinking, like, imagining him crouching down in the woods pooping.
Well, I'm taking it back even more. What does he eat?
Well, I mean, I think he eats whatever they found in the scat, which was like wolves and beavers.
We never see the Predator eat.
No, we don't see the Predator one, chill.
I want to see that.
Like, how's he spend his downtime?
Well, he's on a vacation, so you got to figure it's like going on safari. You know, it's like, well, every minute you're not out there looking at lions, you're wasting your money.
He's like on a hunting expedition.
That'd be fun if there was more than one. There was like a guide who was like nonviolent. Speaking of violent, it is a grisly film.
Yeah, there's a lot of violence, which, I mean, I'm kind of so desensitized to it now. I don't really even notice when it's really gnarly because there's so much, especially with CGI. I mean, there's just so much. Yeah, violence in these movies.
Did you catch what I did there, Grizzly?
Because of the bear?
There's a bear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. All right, and the dog was great as well. So yeah, I think this movie was a little bit oversold. If I was told I had to watch the latest Predator movie and I knew nothing going in, I didn't have listeners and you and Avery alike talking about how tat it is, I would have had lower expectations. I was expected the socks to be blown off, and they were a little bit loose by the end. I guess they were not blowing off my feet.
They were loosened. Well, you know what? We'll take it.
Yeah, I think, you know, it goes back to me just not appreciating Predator as much as I should, probably. So, all right. I'm a dick. You want to do a quick break here? Let's take a little quick break.
Let's. How you feeling about Fields?
Oh, I'm feeling good about Fields. Let's talk a little Fields. Let's just get right into it. Let's not even, like, you know, do the music.
What?
Or anything.
This is highly, highly irregular.
Fields,
high-quality, premium CBD delivered straight to your door is available now thanks to your friends here at the Film Vault.
Yeah, it's for any of the billions of people who may experience anxiety, stress, or sleeplessness. I would say that it's probably, they have millions written down here, but I think it's more billions. There's 7-8 billion people in the world now, and I would imagine at least, you know, 30% of the world's population experiences anxiety, stress, and or sleepless
nights.
That's
very insightful observation.
CBD. And this premium Feel CBD has got you covered with that. It has really, really beneficial effects for both Brian and I. I use it for anxiety. Brian uses it for sleep, like we said. And as we've said a number of times, if you have been thinking about dipping your toe, take a look at Feels. Give Feels a shot, because we can both vouch for this product. It does. And we're not, it's not lip service. We both, I took it just 3 days ago. I don't know when the last time you took a dose.
Mere hours ago. I take it every night before bed.
So there's that. And we don't sponsor products that we have not tried or we don't know about. We don't do the hard baked reads, as they say, or, you know, our own voices. So we only do that for stuff that we think could help you, the listener.
Look at
and,
you.
If you want to take advantage of their sponsorship and their partnering with the Film Vault, you can help the program out as well as our sponsor by signing up today.
I will tell you how. Start feeling better with Feels. Become a member today by going to feels.com/TFE, and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's feals.com/TFE. To become a member, you get,
all right,
you get 50% automatically.
What's up, Brian?
What?
What else you got?
I'm here.
What other movie would you like to speak about?
Did I go mute for a second? Because I'm still doing the read.
Oh, sorry.
All right.
Go ahead.
Fix it here.
You did go mute.
That's feals.com/TFE to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. That's feals.com/TFE.
And now back to the program.
All right, play the music.
How's that?
Play the music.
No, there is no music.
Ah! Mm-hmm. Anderson was raving about a film during his best of the year so far, just a couple of weeks ago. And I thought to myself, I meant to see this. I meant to watch it. And it exited my consciousness. And now that it's back, I will be watching Beyond the Infinite 2 Minutes. Beyond the Infinite 2 Minutes was seen by me after nice. Anderson's glowing endorsement. 2022 film, directed by Junta Yamaguchi. 99% of Rotten Tomatoes. You can rent this. It's a scant 71 minutes. I got to tell you, Anderson, so everyone knows the premise. No one needs me to recap. What happens is the guy goes up to his apartment. You there?
Yes, I'm here.
That was a joke. So my brain did start to melt a little bit as I tried to untangle the sort of plot mechanisms of the you know, he's 2 minutes in the future and he's 2 minutes in the past, and the subtitles, I must admit, were amusing. I watched it with subtitles, and they kept credit, because a lot of dialogue is off screen, no pun intended, and it would say past cutto or past cutto, and it got very circular at a certain point. There was future and past.
Yes.
Yeah, it was and fun. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm waiting for you to jump in and say how excited you are that I saw this film.
I am. I'm jumping in, but you're not responding. So I think that's a problem with the connection.
That could be a problem. Hey, I found, here's my question though. Are there infinite iterations of this happening? Like when you look into, you've done that thing. And by the way, I learned a term when I was looking up information on this movie. It's called the Drost effect. The Drost effect. It is named after a Dutch cocoa brand that features a woman on the cover of the cocoa holding another canister of cocoa. And that's the idea. You look into like a mirror when there's a mirror behind you and you can see an infinite number of you, basically. It eventually, goes past the sort of event horizon and you can't see anymore, but you are under the impression that this goes on forever. So my question is, are there infinite versions of this story just going on every 2 minutes for the rest of time?
Yeah, and I think that the longer it goes on, the more it happens. And I think that they kind of got into that. But didn't they explain that? Like that it is getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's part of the beauty of this movie, is you're trying to wrap your mind around that, as well as trying to wrap your mind around how they did this logistically on a production level, with it being one cut and all the things that had to have taken place that could have gone. I mean, they're really playing with fire. Like, if I saw this concept, this idea laid out, presented like in a pitch, I'd be like, yeah, good luck ever making that work, because there's just way too many variables that could go wrong. And they tackled it and they did it. And it was so goddamn impressive, at least from my point of view. I was blown away by this movie.
So that's funny you mention that, because the other term that I learned in researching this film is, let me get this right, Nagamawashi. That is a new micro genre of mostly low budget one shot Japanese films that have gained popularity after the success of, wait for it, One Cut of the Dead in 2017. So yeah, this is apparently that movie sprung a whole sort of subgenre.
Well, I that doesn't surprise me, and that's great. I just feel like the infinite 2 minutes might have kind of set the bar too high for anyone, because they're like, oh yeah, that's a great concept, because you can shoot these movies super cheap as long as you have some good actors and you really plan well. But when they did something like this that involved so many other iterations of themselves playing back in video, I did minor amounts of this with groupers, and I got to tell you, I had a lot of blowback before we even shot from producers and people involved in the making of groupers, saying that it's going to be a huge headache and we're not going to be able to make these effects work and have it happening in real time. And that was with a edited film. That was with a movie that was not one take. So I feel like they're just like, yeah, you want to do these movies? Try this one. Because it's mind-boggling how they pulled it off. It really is. I still don't know how they did it.
I hope you fired those producers.
Yeah, they're all gone. Won't be working with them in the next one, let me tell you that. Yeah, I'm here. Fa-la-la.
That I heard.
You heard me yelling? Fa-la-la?
Yeah, there were plenty of... Not to quibble, because I really enjoyed this movie. There were plenty of obvious cuts in this movie. Like they didn't really try that hard to make it seem like it was one full long shot. That said, I enjoyed it. It had a nice kinetic energy that kept moving for the entire 71 minutes.
And that's fair. There were absolutely cheats, as there are with pretty much every one cut film you see, one take film, oneer that you see. However, that's not to say that there weren't large chunks of this movie that were like 20 minutes long without a cut. There's large scenes that had to go down smooth, perfectly, and without folly, without mistakes from any of the people involved. And I can tell you this from watching it: there was as much action going on behind these cameras as there was in front of the camera. There was a lot to be taken care of. From a technology standpoint, just getting those images to work on the computer. The one biggest problem that I had was never addressing the fact that he had a never-ending power cord, extension cord that was probably 100 feet long. There was no, and they could have written in some little bullshit funny aside as to why he had that in his room or in his apartment, but they never addressed it, and that bothered me a little bit. That's my biggest problem with the whole movie. which is a very I don't want to say small problem, but it's really my only problem with the movie. Also, some of the things, maybe it's just because I'm not bright enough, but I was having a hard time figuring out how they would use the, this phenomena to their advantage the way that they were. It didn't quite add up to me. Did you?
Yeah,
any-
there was a lot of like, wait, what does that mean? Don't worry about it. We're headed forward.
Yeah. And I think that maybe that was just a write-off and kind of self-acknowledgement that it doesn't quite make sense.
I tried to watch this pretty closely, and I still can't figure out why they couldn't just use two laptops. It would have solved the battery issue.
Yeah, I don't get it either. And I think, like I told you, I think they might have been using a snake to actually get the video feed and have control of the video feed and not have to use Wi-Fi that way. So they were able to pipe whatever the images were on the iMac.
Interesting.
Direct, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it makes sense. That part did require, like you said, a lot of behind the scenes, you know, wrangling and timing, and it was really well done.
And they may have put some stuff in post where, you know, he's talking to himself from 2 minutes ago and he's actually just talking to a blank screen on the set, but they put him in there. But I don't think so. And if they did, it looks really good. It's flawless.
Yeah, it was good.
Because that takes a lot. That takes a lot of work to be able to get that to look.
Is there a carbon dioxide monitor?
Can you hear the high pitch?
Carbon monoxide, I mean.
That's my air conditioning, which obviously has a problem. It does that, and my wife doesn't think that it's alarming, but it makes a high-pitched sound after it runs for 10 minutes.
I don't feel like that's normal.
Well, I paid someone $85 to come out and diagnose it, and they said, we can't find a problem, sir, and they left with my $85. So that's home ownership.
Yeah, that's. I feel like if they don't find anything by their own admission, they should just go.
You know what's terrible about that high-pitched sound that I guess you could probably hear in the background? Just turned off. But like, I watch a lot of movies out in my garage. I got a big TV out here, and I can watch it as loud as I like without disturbing my family. And a lot of the time I'm watching a movie, and I'm like, why are they making this like high intensity right now? I'm like trying to ratchet up the thrill effect with this ambient high-pitched tone. And then I'm like, oh, that's just my air conditioning unit. Uh-huh. It just changes the entire vibe of a movie while I'm watching it. You're like, this is a sweet scene. Why? What's about to happen with the high-pitched noise coming in?
You're doing the sound mixing on your own.
No, the air conditioning is doing it. I'm not doing it at all.
I see. Well, did you all do, right, Bri, what did you do that? Okay, what else did you see?
I saw a movie, and this is a while ago, and I have yet to get to it. I just couldn't fit it in because we've had so many movies assigned and or you know, new releases that we had to get to, so I didn't get a chance to talk about The United States of Insanity much, which is a 2021 film about the insane clown posse's battle with the FBI. Because if you recall, the FBI decided to make the insane clown posse and all the Juggalos, the entire Juggalo family, they put them on a watch list. They put them on a top tier terrorist list, and it was really affecting what insane clown posse, Violent J and Shaggy Two Dope, could do. For a while, they weren't even allowed to leave the state and come to do Loveline, which I really was upset. We probably missed two or three really good insane clown posse appearances on Loveline, and they were probably my all-time favorite guest on Loveline, especially Violent J. He's just such a character and so quick and so funny and so particular. I'm still trying to figure out if they're geniuses or if they're just really, you know, they found their niche. I think after watching this, it might be the latter. For a while there, I thought they were just marketing geniuses. I don't know. It's hard to tell. But here's the best part about the United States of Insanity, which is, excuse me, directed by Tom Putman, as well as he has a partner, and he mainly produces a lot of things, but this is the first film that I've seen that he directed. He also directed Mar and Call. He didn't direct Mar. No. All right. But
I'm looking at the trailer. It's amazing.
Yeah, and you know, this is a movie that it did come and go. No one really saw it, which is shocking. Especially with the built-in audience that it has with the Juggalos. So I don't know if they were upset about it, but I mean, it's got 144 ratings on IMDb, which tells you, and it came out like 6 months ago, it tells you that like nobody saw this movie, which is a shame because there's a lot there to like. And I think my biggest takeaway and the thing I'll remember most about this movie is seeing Violent J in his kitchen. He's still got the makeup on. They always, for those of you who aren't aware of Insane Clown Posse or might be like aware of Miracles or something, there's a lot there to unpack, as it were. There's a lot of humor. There's a lot of
thought. These are smart dudes.
And genuine. I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out. And I don't know if this documentary really sheds more light on that evidence or not. But they're pretty adamant about keeping their identity somewhat under wraps. Like, they never did. Loveline's a radio show. They never showed up without their makeup on. And if they didn't have time to do their makeup, they'd wear wrestling masks. So I've never seen either one of them without their makeup on. However, this movie gets closer to that than anything else I've seen about the Insane Clown Posse. And there's a great scene with Violent J in his, he's a large, large man, and he's in the kitchen with his wife, and he's regaling the camera with the story on how he met his wife. And it's just the most probably honest human thing I've ever seen from Violent J. Which is not to say that he's like an animal or anything, but I've just never kind of seen him that vulnerable. And I really, really appreciated that aspect of this movie. I don't feel like it really wrapped up the entire case. There was a lot of back and forth with their case against the FBI and why they should not be counted as a terrorist. And then we get to see the FBI side of things and why they believe they are. And you kind of are in the middle at times. Like, you know, I can see both sides. They interview a lot of juggalos, as you might imagine. This is a good watch. And it was only available for rent when I saw it. And I think now it's on Tubi with ads, as well as Vudu with ads, I believe. Or you can rent it for a couple bucks.
All right.
The United States of Insanity. And, you know, it definitely raises the ire in the viewer, thinking like, is this really the FBI's time best spent? Much like that documentary you love and have me watch that I liked as well, about the Jewish couple that ran Circus Books.
Oh yeah, back Circus in the day. Books.
And the FBI was, you know, spending a lot of man hours on them, and it's just like, aren't there bigger fish to fry, FBI?
Yeah, isn't someone doing more harm to the world?
I don't know if juggalos are really a threat, but they bring up some really interesting points as to why they put them on the list. And there's cases that are covered in this movie where, you know, small little towns, most places were saying, no, we don't want the Insane Clown Posse playing a show, especially The Gathering, in our town, because the juggalos come and they just rip shit up. And then they find a little spot, like, you know, they find a guy who owns a bunch of land who's like, yeah, I don't care, I'll take your money, you can do your little magic show. You can do your little gathering. You can do your gathering here. I don't care. But then, like, all the surrounding neighborhoods are like in peril because the juggalos descend on this small little spot in the middle of nowhere. And most of them are armed. Most of them have some kind of weaponry on them. And there's a lot of debauchery that occurs. And so I get that they could be considered a threat there. It was an interesting, fun watch. But like I said, the biggest takeaway for me is seeing the human moments with Violent J.
All right, I'm actually looking this up right now. See if I can. You can rent this for like $1.99 or watch it free.
Yeah, and it's on Tubi. Yeah, and like I said, just seeing, because there's their whole image, their brand is like, we don't give a fuck, and, you know, we are the Insane Clown Posse, and we have some of the craziest. Just think of like all of the Philadelphia sports fan stories you've heard.
Oh, yeah.
Over the years, the juggalos are that times, I'd say, three or four, maybe five, right?
I'm on and, board, buddy.
And these two guys are their leaders, right? Like they lead this group. And there's this whole, like, also, like, the big message was they're Christian, and it's a Christian message, which came out a few years ago, which still blows my mind. I don't know how much truth there is to that. But they're always like, we don't give a fuck, it's us against the world. And to see them kind of in a vulnerable state was very interesting.
Nice. I'm going to check this out. United States of Insanity. Anderson, we got links to all these in the show notes.
I will make sure there's links after I stitch this show together, which is going to be as impressive as the infinite 2 minutes.
The impotent 2 minutes?
Impotent? No, I said infinite.
Well, I said, that sounds really sad. The impotent 2 minutes.
Oh, that's so not sad if it's an hour long session. You only got 2 minutes of impotence.
That's a good point. That's a very minor. That's like 2% of the whole session.
60-minute session and 58 minutes are strong like bull, and then you got the, I don't know why I'm talking about dicks and being, let's move on, especially with the nice family show we got coming up next.
Oh, that's true. All right, enjoy that. Thank you guys for downloading and listening this week. We'll be back.
Wait, you only did two movies. I thought you had three movies.
This third one I'm saving for my after my vacation. You only did two movies.
I know, but that's okay because it's me.
Well done.
All right, we're wrapping it up, really?
Wrapping it up.
Right.
All right, I will be back and doing live show with Anderson, live to tape, that is. Speaking of live, tease the live watch.
Oh, yeah. Brian, you button hooked me here. August 25th, it's a Thursday, right? And we're going to be doing the show from my place. Inside, I'm in the garage right now trying to stay out of that. The wife is working inside, so that might be part of the problem with the connection, but the connection is very, very strong inside. We'll be doing it August 25th, and we're starting an hour early this time. We're going to try that out because I know some people would probably prefer it a little bit earlier, but it's going to start. We're going to kick off at 5:30 Pacific time, and then the movie will begin at 6 p.m. Pacific time, and we're going to do Final Destination 3 from my couch in my living room, and it's going to be a good setup, and I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
Hopefully it goes well.
If someone else listening is looking forward to it, thinking to themselves, hey, I'd like to be a part of this, what do they do?
They go over to the Patreon. You sign up for the $10 level. And that gets you in the door for the watch party link, and also other little video links that we've done. We did one where we watched a couple shorts, and I actually cried. Brian did not because he's cold-hearted. And then also, if you can't make the live event, the entire video file is available for you to watch it at your discretion on YouTube, along with all of the comments that people, that the listeners and the Patreon members made while watching the movie along with us. And you know, a lot of notable names in there. You got Florence Bremer, who's in there most times, and you got Eric Holmes, and the Mitch Burns is in there. I think Jordan Wolfe was in there. Rand Courtney, my buddy, was in there.
The legend Giovanni is often there.
Gio's in there. Yeah. So you get to watch the YouTube video of us watching the movie, and you see the comments in real time as they happened along. So that's kind of cool how YouTube does that.
Nice. All right, you guys, thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. Amazon, no this week. We got no, we're just, you know, 2 days after we did our last episode, but we'll double up next time and do a full, robust list of all the things you tap that banner to buy. And what else can I say? Until next time.
We do it for Van Gogh.
Choose from nearly 100 career-focused programs leading to bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees at Point Park University. Learn at Point Park's downtown Pittsburgh campus, online, or a flexible hybrid format. Learn more at pointpark.edu. Advance your career with a graduate degree from Point Park University. Choose from more than 20 Point Park master's and doctoral degrees. Learn online at your convenience or at Point Park's downtown Pittsburgh campus. Learn more at pointpark.edu/graduate.